Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm originally from the US, from the East Coast, and I'm currently living in Guatemala City. My sobriety date is August 30th, 2025, which makes me exactly 9 months sober today. So that was my first God wink of the day. I did not realize that this would line up for me to be speaking today on my 9 months. So that was a little God wink from my higher power to me. So a little about me before I begin. I'm insanely stubborn. I am a perfectionist. I am a workaholic. I am quite OCD and detail oriented. I freakishly organize things. I am a goody two-shoes. I hate breaking rules. Therefore, I did not touch alcohol until I was 21. My 21st birthday was when I had my first drink, and I wish there was a video of it because my roommate and I were sitting there attempting to use a wine bottle opener for the first time ever, and we could not figure out how to open a bottle of wine as 21-year-olds in college. And so, yeah, but from that first drink, I was gone. I started that day and had no control from day one. I started drinking a lot and drinking liquor and having a lot of alcoholic tendencies like very early on. And I would say within months of starting to drink, I was already becoming a blackout drinker. I thought a lot of my secretive behavior was just because of my environment. I was in a very religious community. I was at a dry college, and so being sneaky with alcohol was very much so the norm. And so, I thought drinking vodka out of my water bottle was just like, the thing to do. But then as my environments changed, I was still sketchy as can be, hiding things in my trash can and being very secretive about my drinking lifestyle and drinking alone. And so after graduation, one thing about me, I told my parents when I was 10 years old that I was going to move out of the US and never come back. I was very adamant about this. I actually told them, like, I'm moving to Africa as soon as I can and I will be there forever. And they thought it was a phase that I was going to outgrow, and I never did. And so I graduated from college, and I moved directly to Indonesia. I didn't know a single soul there. When I got offered a job there, I didn't even know where it was on the map. I had to Google it. I was like, I should probably, find your location before I accept this job. And I got on an airplane right after graduation and moved to a village in Indonesia. And it was there that I really learned a lot. Alcohol was not readily available there. It's quite difficult to get and very expensive. But when I did get my hands on alcohol, it always went poorly. To the point of within that year, I was sexually assaulted twice while under the influence of alcohol. So after the year, I moved to Florida, which I had also never been there. I'm originally from South Carolina. Why not move, to Florida? And so I did, and that is where secrecy really ate me alive. I didn't want anyone to know what would happen, what had happened to me. I felt a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. And I had an extreme relapse with anorexia, which is a huge part of my story. And I wanted to just starve all of the impurities out of me, and I wanted to drink myself into oblivion, which I successfully did. And so I ended up being flown to a rehab in Arizona, and I was in ICU for 30 days in multi-organ failure. And once I went through the refeeding process and got medically stable, I spent two more months there, and then returned back to Florida. And it was in those 3 months, that I had my first experience with really being angry at God, and really feeling like I was somewhere where I could finally just unravel, and be as angry as I wanted and unfiltered. And they had a saying there that was, lean with your head and your heart will eventually follow. And so they challenged me on day one of being there to just completely surrender. Just do everything we say. Like, your best thinking got you here. So, like, you can undo this at the end. Like, just give it your all. Just listen, take the suggestions, do everything we say. And then at the end, you can gladly do all of this again. Like, clearly you're an expert at this. You ended up here. So we have no doubt that you can figure out how to undo anything we could possibly teach you. And that really connected with me. I was like, you know what? Like, I think I can commit to that. And so the lean with your head and your heart will eventually follow is a motto that I re-picked up 9 months ago when I walked back into these AA rooms. So in 2012, I dipped my big toe into AA when I was living in Florida and realized that I had a severe problem. And I was not ready to do the work. I did not come all the way in. I did not sit all the way down. I wanted to really pick and choose what parts of the program that I could do and that I thought would work for me. I didn't realize the whole program would work for me, and that I needed to do the whole program for anything to be successful. And so I knew I was an alcoholic. I had come face to face with that, but I wasn't ready to do the work and I was not willing to do the work. But they gave me a big book and I did not read it, but I knew I needed it. I knew at some point in my life I would read it. And so, stories that I will share on another day, is that book traveled the world with me for 13 years. It went to Morocco, to China, to Malaysia, to Bolivia. These are all places that I moved throughout the years. And then when I was in Bolivia, I really hit a new bottom, which I blamed on the stability of the country. And they were going through a political and economical crisis. It's one of the poorest countries in South America. So, like, anybody in this would just drink every day of their lives and be, a blackout drunk with three small children. This is totally like the country's fault. And so, like, I was very convinced that when I left Bolivia, I was going to regroup, I was going to reset, that things were going to get better. And so my family ended up moving to Guatemala about 11 months ago, and the reset didn't happen. And the drinking did not slow down, and I just couldn't get it together. It broke my heart to have conversations with my kids at night. And then the next day, they'd say, Mom, you promised you were going to get us ice cream after school. And I'm like, I have no memory of this conversation whatsoever. And it was really starting to affect my family. And so I randomly came across a flyer that said English speaking AA meeting in Guatemala. And I was like, okay, like I will maybe research that. And so I did. And then there was a phone number listed, and there was a guy's name there. And I was like, And then I copied and pasted the WhatsApp number and I put it in my phone and it said, this person is already in your contacts. And I'm like, I've been here like a month. Like, how is this person in my contacts? And so then it ends up being my neighbor, like my literal next door neighbor. And I'm like, you have got to be freaking kidding me. And if you know me, in my drinking days, I really liked being able to weasel out of things, to stay invisible, to not be seen, to not speak to people, to be as invisible as possible. And I wanted to be able to weasel out of AA again, as silently and quickly as I could if I decided I didn't want to do this thing. And I'm like, he's my neighbor. Like, are you kidding me? And so I went back and forth and then was like, all right, like this is gotta be a God thing, or I just have the worst luck in the world, but I'm gonna go with hopefully this is a God thing. And so I reached out and connected and shared a bit of my story and my struggles. And on day two, I found myself in a meeting in Guatemala City. The miracles instantly started happening for me. With the very first one being that my neighbor was literally 13 years sober. The next miracle being that Guatemala AA is mostly men. And so I was finding myself at my first meeting with one other female, and majority of the time being the only female. And it was really uncomfortable. And I started praying, like, God, I can't do this. You've got to give me another. I need females. Like, I need women that I can connect with who can, like, help me through this, or like, I'm going to relapse. And then I'm sitting in this newcomers international meeting. And there was this person speaking. And all of a sudden, she's complaining about her AA group and how it's mostly men. And I'm like, man, this sounds so familiar. And then she said, and I live in Guatemala City. And I was like, what? Like, there's 150 people in this meeting. Like, what just happened? And I flipped out, and was like, I'm gonna stalk this woman and find her. Seriously. And it was absolutely amazing. I connected with Belinda and found out she lived very close to me and that she is one of our home group members here. And she instantly wanted to meet and connect and make sure I had a big book. And we went. Within meeting her, she's like, okay, well, let's meet like tomorrow. And I was like, I don't know about this. Like, this is crazy. And we did. And so that has just been another thing where I felt like God was really lining up things well for me, in a way that I specifically needed. And so early on, I thought I knew what I wanted in a sponsor. And I was like, they have to be married. They have to be a mom. They need to be somebody I can meet in person because otherwise I'm going to ghost them. And I made this whole entire list. My beautiful sponsor, who is the absolute perfect sponsor for me, is absolutely nothing on that list. She is not married. She is not a mom. She is not in the same country as me. And not only are we in different countries, we are in like exact opposite of type countries. Guatemala is like party city, booze everywhere, readily available, and my beautiful sponsor is in a dry country. And my higher power once again just knew exactly who I would need to take me through these steps and to really help me get the foundation that I needed. Early on, also, my Guatemala group gets a lot of my mess. I was very blessed to honestly be the only newcomer in the group. They all had 10 plus years of sobriety, some of them 28 years, and then it was me on day two. And I really just got to fall apart and to share my mess and to hear their experience, strength, and hope twice a week. All of these people with just incredible sobriety, just pouring so much wisdom into me. And I just felt truly grateful and spoiled for that experience. And so my topic for today is staying in the middle. And as I was praying this morning about staying in the middle, I got this really weird visual. And I have no idea why, because I am not a bowler. But for some odd reason, this bowling analogy just really was in my head. And I started thinking about when kids go bowling and it's like gutter ball, gutter ball, gutter ball. So what do? You put up the little bumper lanes so that when their ball isn't rolling down the middle, it kind of bounces off the side lanes and then hopefully it gets to the end and hits the pins. And I realized that my story isn't about staying in the middle, because none of us are perfect. None of us have a perfect program. But I realize my higher power has really helped me build my sobriety in a way that, like, when needed, my little bumper lanes kind of pop right out of the triangle. And so I'm the little bowling ball in the middle of our AA triangle. And I start going a little crazy, and these bumpers pop up, and I kind of hit the wall and bounce back, and get to the middle. And
Minutes
that is,
later.
yes, I see. And so that is something, that just visually really stood out to me today. And so I knew when I started AA that I wanted to do the steps as thoroughly, but also as quickly as I could. I wanted to learn a lot. I wanted to keep momentum going, and I didn't want to allow myself to get stagnant. I really wanted to connect with unity and come to meetings, and I tried to do absolutely as many suggestions as I could. One of my favorite daily reflections in the big book, or one of daily reflections so far, is the one about the sponsee, and he reminds his sponsor that the 12 steps are just a suggestion. And I'm going to say that the sponsor responded with sass, because that's how it plays out in my head. But the sponsor responded, "Why, yes, they are suggestions. Exactly how, if you decide to parachute out of a plane, they are going to su suggest that you pull the rip cord so that you stay alive. And so, yes, these are suggestions. You are correct. However, if you would like to stay alive, I would like to suggest we work these steps and that you work a full program." And that really connected with me, and was like, this is how I want to live my program. Is, I will be honest, there have been times where I'm reading the big book with my sponsor, and I have straight out told her, like, "I can't even read this. Like, this is, I don't believe this." And I will tell her that, like, this sounds totally absurd to me. I cannot fathom the words that are on this page. And I will speak, and I will share, and I will listen, because she will respond. And somehow we always come to the conclusion of, well, what if you just lean into that this could be truth? Like, you don't understand it, it doesn't make sense, but what would happen if you just choose to hold this as truth, or that it could become truth, or that it's my truth as your sponsor? Like, I believe this is true. And that really gave me the space to be able to lean in, to stay in the middle, and to not, like, run for the hills. I am very grateful, for this program. A few weeks ago is probably the first time that my life got very wonky. I come to these rooms, and I'm able to lean in, with my whole self, and I'm able to believe truth. And so when you say yesterday's food isn't going to keep you full today, or every morning you wake up with untreated alcoholism, and the first thing you need to do is to treat that alcoholism, get on your knees and pray, surrender, ask God to keep you sober today, I believe it. But for some reason, life started getting lifey, and I thought, if my reasons were valid, and were not of my own doing, that I could somehow just kind of hit pause on my program. And so my thesis was due. I'm writing a 60-page paper. I have three children. I'm a teacher at the end of the school year. I was graduating in mid-May. My parents were coming to visit me for the first time in a decade, coming to Guatemala City to see me. And I was freaking out, and I stopped prioritizing my program, and I blamed it on, well, the meeting time changed, and so I'm still in my classroom at work, and so I can't come to meetings. But then I didn't replace it. And then some things happened in my Guatemala group, and my sponsor and I decided that we should. That I should take a break, from going to that meeting until my heart could really settle of some things that were taking place within the group. And so then I lost service, and I lost a lot of face-to-face accountability that I was really clinging to. And I knew it wasn't good, but in my head, I was like, well, these things are just kind of happening, and once I finish my thesis, I'm gonna get back on track. And that is not reality in any way, shape, or form. It really is a daily program. You really do just have the 24 hours that you're on. And I found myself having a complete meltdown of coming out of the middle of my triangle, really letting my willingness to stay sober slip away, and bawling my eyes out to my sponsor of, maybe I can't do this, maybe I should just drink, maybe this, that, the other, and started like shooting myself to death. And I was so thankful to have a rigorously honest conversation with her and for my higher power to meet me in that moment of vulnerability, and for me to understand the importance of program. No matter if you have a 60-page paper due, especially if you have a 60-page paper due, and especially if bad things are happening, especially if good things are happening, no matter what, every day my job is to put my sobriety first. And so that is what I have learned about staying in the middle. And I'm grateful for the lessons I've learned along the way. I'm grateful for all of you. 9 months feels like a miracle. It is a miracle. And so if you're here today and feeling like you can't make it, just start building your program where you're trying your darndest to stay in the middle, but you're building those bumpers that can really pop up and to keep you going and in line and pulling you back to the middle. So thank you for allowing me to share and to be of service. Thank you.